Effective Living with Reverend Henry Hubert. May you be blessed as you listen. Now, the message. Lord, you made
her. Well, we've been studying on a subject that I titled Life's Choices. And we've been looking at seven critical choices that every child of God must get right. Choices have consequences. It means that whatever you decide to do produces results. In fact, when you decide to do nothing, it will still produce results. So choices have consequences, but not all choices produce the same consequence. Some choices produce minor consequences. Some choices are major choices you make, and they produce major consequences in your life. And so I am trusting God that as we study this subject, the Spirit of God will help all of us to master these seven critical choices of life that I believe can make anyone successful in every area of his life. Amen. So today we are looking at the next one. We looked at the seven critical choices are the choice to receive Jesus as Lord and personal Savior. The second one is the choice to talk to others about Jesus. The third decision, critical decision of life, is the choice of church to join. Today we are looking at the choice of lifetime career. In my work as a pastor, I have realized something. Some of the problems that people face when I deal with people, face problems in their marriages, sometimes in their health, sometimes in relation to their children, sometimes in relation to other critical relationships, I found out that most people develop problems with their relationships because they are not happy. When you are happy, a lot of things become different with your relationships. But I realized that at the root of the happiness is one important thing. Most people are not happy because of their work. Most people are not happy in life because of the work they do. The few that are happy all the time, you can also trace it to the work they do. And I'm talking about Christians. If somebody is not happy, it's an unbeliever, the number one cause is that he has not given his life to Jesus. But when people become born again and you talk to them and you still realize that they are not happy, you can trace it to the fact that their lifetime purpose, what they are supposed to be doing for which they were born, they have not found it. And sometimes, like we heard in the exhortation today, people think that you can be happy when you make a lot of money, and yet more rich people commit suicide than poor people. A lot of poor people have hope. When I went to Korea, I heard of a former prime minister that climbed to a 15-floor story building and jumped through the window and died. And they tried to find out why, because this man was rich. And for the rest of his life, he was going to continue to be paid by the government, taken care of. He had not committed any crime. He was not on trial. There was no problem. He jumped from the 15th floor and died. So what you do for the rest of your life is very important. And so today's subject is for all of us. Many times when I teach on this subject, I hear the middle-aged people saying, this is for young people. You know, those who are in school, those who are students, should read it. But I want you to know, it is better to correct the wrong, even at old age, than to live the wrong way the rest of your life and die. And by the way, it is not proper to start calling yourself old at the age of 50 or at the age of 60. Hallelujah. Nelson Mandela came out from prison at the age of 72. 72 years. Do you know the age my father died? 72. And he was already calling himself an old man. Retired at 60 and started calling himself old. 70, he was gone. Somebody came out from prison at 72 and said, look, I have a dream. I have a dream to lead this country in a direction that will permanently bring prosperity and progress to our nation, to address the problem of racial discrimination, bring racial equality to South Africa. So at 74, he stood for president in order to fulfill his lifetime dream and goals. And you know what? He won the election and became head of state at 74. ruled till he was 79, and he stepped down. And for the rest of his life, he engaged in charity work, established the Nelson Mandela Foundation, you know, did a lot of charity work in South Africa and beyond, died at the age of 95. Hallelujah. So nobody here is too old for what I'm teaching today. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Nobody is too old. So I want you to pay attention, study this. There may be changes you need to make in your life. And what I like most about it, you can also use it to help your children. Because some of us, the frustration we are going through today is because of our parents, the choices they forced us to make concerning our lifetime careers, which unfortunately we continue to perpetuate. Hallelujah. So I want to begin by saying that everyone's prosperity is tied to his choice of career. For you to prosper, for you to become wealthy, some way, somehow, it is tied to the work you do, the work you choose to do. And I want to say that whatever work you do the rest of your life is your choice. You may not have the power to choose what to start doing from now, but what to do as a lifetime career is your choice. Amen. Now, the reason is because the primary means by which God blesses us financially is through the work of our hands. You know, if you read Deuteronomy 28, verse 8, it said, the Lord, can we read it together? Ready, go. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses. Storehouses means, in today's term, it means your bank accounts. Amen? Because in the Bible, they were farmers, and so they keep the harvest of their crops in storehouses. And the Lord says what? He will command the blessing on you in your storehouse. So where do you keep your income, whether in your bank account or under your bed, wherever you keep it, God's blessing will locate it in Jesus' name. But I will advise that you open a bank account and get a good bank to open an account there. Amen. Carry on. And in what? All to which you set your... And in all to which you set your hand, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. If we go to verse 12 of Deuteronomy 28, it said, the Lord will open to you his what? Good treasure. Read the rest for me. To give you rain to your land in this season, and to bless all the work of your hand, you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. May that be your portion. May that be your portion. In the name of Jesus. But look at this scripture. It said the Lord will open to you where? His good treasure. When we say his good treasure, he's talking about the heavenly realm, the realm of the spirit where there is supernatural provision coming from. And today I want to tell somebody that God has a realm from which he supernaturally provides for us. He said he opened to you his good treasure, the heavens. So the heavens is God's good treasure. To give the rain to your land in its season. Now, he was talking to farmers. So if God was talking to you and I today, instead of using the word rain, he may use another relevant word. Instead of using the word your land, because they were farming on land, and the most important thing they needed was what? Rain. So what God is saying that he was going to open to you his good treasure, or he will open the heaven over your life, and your career will continue to enjoy continual blessing and grace. Amen? Amen? So, your land in this season, and to bless all the work of your hand. God said he will bless the work of your hand. I said, God said he will bless the work of your hand.
Amen.
I said, God said, everyone under the sound of my voice, God said, it doesn't matter what work you do. You may be a carpenter, you may be a shoemaker, you may be a businessman, you may be a lawyer, a teacher, an engineer, whatever you do, a civil servant, a public servant, whatever you do, God said he will command the blessing upon the work of your hand. He will bless the work of your hand. Lift up your two hands and say, my hands are blessed. Say, the blessing of God is upon my hands. The Lord has blessed my hands. Amen. He said the result of the blessing of God on your hand is that you shall begin to lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. It means that when God blesses the work of your hands, you begin to prosper. You begin to increase financially. And it is not about the work you do. It is about the blessing God put on it. Hallelujah. Yeah. It's about the blessing God put on it. But he said he will bless the work of your hand. I want to say that everybody has a work of your hand. There is a work God has designed your hands to do. Amen. But I want to say that God's primary approach to blessing his children financially is through the work of their hands. It means that every child of God must work. Amen. The primary means by which God has designed to prosper you is through the work of your hands. You cannot sit down folding your hands, confessing, I'm rich, and become rich by any magic. You cannot sit down, fold your hands, expect that somebody will work and come and give you all the money. The primary means by which God designed to prosper, according to scripture, is through the work of our hands. Occasionally, there are other secondary means by which God can bless you. Sometimes he can give you favor, and people will be touched to bless you here and there and do other good things for you. But I've come to realize that most of the favors you even get from people is connected to your work. Yeah. I have been blessed by people in very crazy ways. Hallelujah. Yeah. Last Friday, I was sharing in a church how I met somebody in the Dubai Mall that paid for all the goods that I wanted to buy. But you know why this guy paid? Because years ago, I was in their church and I was a blessing to him. I didn't know him. He reminded me that you came to our church to preach and you were a blessing to me. So it was through the work of my hands that I got that favor. You will never become extremely rich or very rich when you don't work. All you do is call people, tell stories. And ladies, the times when you marry men to take care of you, those times are long gone. This is 21st century. Oh, it's my husband's responsibility to take care of me. It's my husband's responsibility to take care of me. Look, those days are gone. So get up and work and help your husband to build a future for your family and for your children and children's children. Oh, looks like some people are not happy with today's preaching. By the way, I believe that men should take good care of their wives. By the way, you know, as I'm talking like this, some men are saying, oh, thank God. I believe that men should love their wives and take good care of their wives. But the Bible said, it is not good that a man should be alone. I will make for him a helper suitable. If you are a wife, your role is to be a helper, not a consumer and a dependent. You are supposed to be a helper. And helpers are very crucial, very important people. They are not taskmasters. They are not taskmasters. Amen. Ephesians 4:28. Can we read together? Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. I have come to realize that if you refuse to work, you will become a thief. And God will never bless stealing. And let me say to you that stealing is in different levels. Amen. One of the way people steal these days is to borrow your money and they will never pay. Before he came to your house to ask for the money, he has made up his mind he's not going to pay. But he knows that if he tells you to dash him, you will not dash. So he said, borrow me. Hallelujah. I think many people will not like my preaching today. The only people who are allowed to borrow and not pay are husbands who borrow their wives' money. Other men, say amen to that. How many women agree with me? Oh my God. I mean, why should I borrow money from my wife when I give to her every time? How many men are on my side this morning? How many men are suffering some issues? Hallelujah. One day, miracle service. A lady wrote prayer requests. Lord, trouble my husband until he pays all my money. He's owing me. And when we closed, she told the husband, I'll put you on the altar. Hallelujah. So she was telling me, the pastor, my husband borrowed money for 2 years now. I said, forgive. I mean, let it go. I said, no. He must pay. He asked me to lend. I said, he asked you to lend because if he asks you to give, you will not give. Our African culture has programmed women to never want to give to their husband. So I asked her, do you love your husband? She said, yes, I love him. So I said, your brother, do you have any brother? She said, yes, your younger brother. If he has a financial problem and he comes to you, do you give him or you lend him? He said, I give him. I said, this is your brother. Has your husband ever helped him before with money? So yes, all the time. In fact, my brother, my husband will take care of him. So I said, you give to your brother. You don't lend him. It's your husband. You borrow him. And if he doesn't pay, you put him on the altar. So I told her, I said, I'm going to call your husband. I'm going to tell him not to pay. Hallelujah. So, husbands, well, it looks like that's the only way we can keep getting the money we need. Borrow it. Hallelujah. But more seriously, I believe that it is very, very unethical, spiritually improper for a child of God to borrow money from people and refuse to pay. I'm saying refuse to pay. Sometimes people go through difficulty, they are not able to pay. And please, if somebody borrows money from you and is going through hardship and you can see that he doesn't have it, one, I'll give him time so that he can pay. Or two, if it's within your power, forget about it. Amen. My problem is when you borrow money from people, you keep telling them there's no money. But you are buying new shoes, there's no money. You are changing your hair every week, there's no money. Your dresses are changing, there's no money. It means that paying the debt is not your priority. But let's leave that also. He said, let him who stole steal no longer, because you will never become rich by stealing. Whatever money you get through stealing, you lose it. You will lose it. It's a law of the spirit. Don't try it. You can never be smarter than life. Life has been in existence long before you were born. So instead of stealing, the Bible says, but rather let him labor. Everybody say labor. Working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give. My understanding of this scripture is that as long as you decide to work, you will never lack. He said, so that he will have something to give. It means you have enough. Because you cannot give unless you have enough. So as long as you keep working and you serve God faithfully and you trust the Lord, you will come to the place where you have enough to give to others. And never beg and never lack. There is only one way to take yourself out of begging, is to decide to work. Scripture is 2 Thessalonians 3:10. For everyone who were with you, we commanded you this. If anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. One of the ways to get people from laziness to working is deprive them of food. Amen. And those of you, you are 30 years, 35 years, you are still in your father's house, eating, not working. You even complain that there's not enough meat in the food. I wish your parents would stop giving you food. Hallelujah. Verse 11. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner. So refusing to work is disorderliness. Not working at all, but are busybodies. I've come to realize that the laziest people are the best gossipers. People who are busy don't have time about others. See, people who gossip most are lazy people who do nothing except to talk. They will find fault with everything and do nothing. Verse 12. Now, those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. A day must come when you eat from your own means. Amen. And you must be proud that from now onwards, I take care of myself. Hallelujah. Even at old age, take care of yourself. You know, the Bible says a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. But today in Africa, by the time people are 60, they start troubling their children and tormenting them with needs and demand. Somebody finish school, start working, he's in trouble. Because from the age of 60, you want your children to start taking, because you start calling yourself, I'm old though. You see, I'm old. At 60, you are old. You won't work. I pray that at the age of 90, you will still be inviting your children and your grandchildren and asking them, what do you want? What do you need? What do you need for your birthday? Is it a car you want? Or a trip to Hawaii? Or where do you want to go? Anything you say, I'll do it. I have too much money. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. That is life. I've seen men cursing their children. These are my children. They will suffer. I am here suffering. I'm old and I'm suffering. They will never mind me. Your children just started life. They are struggling to make ends meet. But we believe that, you know, it is a blessing for somebody to take care of you. That is the charismatic African mindset. When people take care of you, we see it as a blessing. I don't see that as a blessing. Is everybody hearing me today? Yeah. It's not a blessing when people take care of you. Bible says it is more blessed to give than to receive. The moment you put yourself at the receiving end, you are changing the equation. You are losing blessings. It is not a breakthrough for somebody to say for the rest of your life, anything you need, come to me. It is not a breakthrough. If there's any breakthrough, the breakthrough is to the person who told you that. And everything you do, you must believe God to bless you and take. And I'm praying for somebody today that whatever you do, God's grace will come upon it. Amen. The beginning may be small, but the end will be great. Amen. Prosperity and abundance will come to you. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. All right, let's look at some definitions that I put there for the purpose of today's teaching. A job. So what is a job? A job is anything you do for money. Anything you do in order to get money. That's a job. And that's where we all start from. Everybody must start from somewhere. A job is anything you do in order to get money, provided it's a good thing. All right. The next one is profession. A profession is an occupation that you gain through education and training. So you go to school to get trained, or you go to an apprenticeship and you are trained for a particular occupation and it becomes your profession. So what is a career? A career is your work life. Your work life. The sum total of all that you do in life, including your work experience, positions that you hold, roles at specific places of work, is your career. So when I'm talking about choosing your lifetime career, I'm not talking about choosing a profession or a job. I'm talking about a career. What you want to do for the rest of your life. And it may involve a lot of things put together. Focusing towards fulfilling God's purpose for your life. Amen? Yeah, let me use my life as an example. My profession is pastoring. I was trained to be a pastor. Hallelujah. But as a pastor, I do many things. I teach. What I'm doing now is I'm teaching. I teach. I do miracle services because I have a miracle ministry. I write books. I do a little bit of itinerant preaching around. I train pastors. One of the things I love to do most is train pastors. So my retirement, I want to live the rest of my life in a Bible school that I'm going to build. Big. Just stay there. I will live very long when I stay there. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. I love to train pastors. So I do many things. So we're talking about my career is not just pastoring. All right. So in your lifetime, your career may take you through a lot of neighborhoods. Some of them give you experiences, skills, competencies, abilities, all focused towards enabling you to fulfill God's purpose for your life. Now, according to a research in America, I think that today's exhortation was very good for me. Make the work easy for me. 90% of the working class in America do not like their jobs. 30% hate their jobs. And the question is, why do you choose jobs that you don't like? The reason is social status. You want to be respected in society. When you say, I am a lawyer, I am a banker, I am an engineer, I am a doctor.
Hope you've been blessed by today's message. You can contact Reverend Hubert on 030-340-7970 or 024-33-11201. Remain blessed.